Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, you have called us to become ministers of your new covenant, Lord. Ministers of your covenant that you mean to write and fashion and form into the tablets of our heart. What you write into us is an unveiling by the finger of God, a reality manifested as the workmanship of the Holy Spirit, an expression, O God, of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And in this realization, O God, we are meant to stand before you in the merits of the Lamb by the Holy Spirit. And we are designed to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus at all times. This is the reality that governs, O God, the new covenant. To do all things by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. To do them, O God, for your glory alone, Father. To bless you, O God, from the altars of our heart. In the understanding, O Lord, of a gratitude for all that you have bequeathed to us by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, in this reality, when we minister, O God, the nations will be set free from the law of sin and death, Lord. We in the church will realize the freedom and liberty of being set free from the law of sin and death. And we will know, O God, the reality of the life that flows to us from our Father's heart by the Holy Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And this is the life that is proclaimed as eternal life. This is the life, O God, that will enable, O God, us to live forevermore. This is the life, O God, that is, O Lord, the very essence, O God, of your blessing to us, Father. We thank you that you have chosen to describe this life in the witness and testimony of Jesus. You have chosen to work this life in the testimony and witness of Jesus into us by the Holy Spirit. And you have chosen, O God, in this manner, O God, to bring into our lives the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, so that we will stand in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit as a people blessed in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing that you have given us, O God. For every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And we thank you that we are lights in the light of life that we receive and realize in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We are morning stars being fashioned and formed in the fullness of Him who is called the bright morning star. That it is the Holy Spirit who works the treasure of Christ Jesus into us. And this treasure, O God, we know we will proclaim as the body of Christ in a reality that will hallow you, O God, from the very breath that we breathe, Father. And this reality will truly be your perfect will accomplished in our lives. Today, O God, as we contemplate your giftings to us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that you will truly, O God, enable us to understand that what you we are speaking of today is just a mere beginning of all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, we pray that we will realize what you have given to us in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we will express it, O God, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, so that the name of Jesus will be glorified. Bless us, Father, with the truth. Bless us, O God, with genuine giftings that stand before you in the merits of the Lamb. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on Module 9. We are talking about moving into ministry. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read from verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Praise the Lord. It is very important for us to understand that moving in the gifts is moving in the Word of God. The gifts are the Word of God. They are as much the Word of God as anything you find in the Gospels or in any other kind, any other passage of the epistles. And it's very important for us to understand that moving into these gifts is part and parcel of what God calls the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It is part and parcel of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It's very important for us to understand this, because many people talk around the gifts. The gifts are very much a part and parcel of God's plan. The gifts are a means by which we are to learn how to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. How we learn how to function by the Holy Spirit. They are an essential part of learning how to work and function by the Holy Spirit. How to respond to the Holy Spirit. And everything that the gifts represent are an expression of the ministry of Jesus Christ. They are an expression of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we need to know that, and we need to understand that. And we need to realize that it's essential to the growth and maturity of the church that we receive a full complement of the giftings that God has for us by the Holy Spirit. There are 9 gifts that are mentioned in verse 8 to 10. There are 3 classes of these 9 gifts. They are broken into 3 gifts that are one class, and they are called the first, the vocal gifts, which is the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. They are the vocal gifts. And the vocal gifts are designed to make us oracles of God. And this you must understand. You remember that when we started this series on moving into ministry, we picked a passage from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read that very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So, receiving a gift and ministering the gift is an expression of God's graciousness. And God's graciousness is manifold. And therefore, in principle, God is telling us He would like to see a whole body move in the giftings so that He can manifest the many, 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 many facets of His grace into the body of Christ and into a sick and dying world. Verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And the vocal gifts are fundamental to learning how to function as the oracles of God. Learning how to function spontaneously. Learning how to draw from God the knowledge and the message that He has for us. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And the ability which God supplies comes to us in 2 classes of gifts. The revelatory gifts, which are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. And the power gifts. And the power gifts are the gifts of healing, and there are many different kinds of gifts of healing. The gift of faith and the gift of miracles. And all these are ministering, a part and parcel of us learning how to minister with the ability which God supplies. as the Spirit designs that supply to manifest, okay? All these come at the will of the Holy Spirit. They're not conjured up by man. So you need to understand that moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a very basic form of ministry that is given to the body of Christ. It teaches us how to function by the Holy Spirit, and it teaches us to see Jesus unveil himself through us, through these giftings. Because all of these giftings are an expression of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And you see this being proclaimed in the prophets. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 35. Before we turn to Isaiah chapter 35, let me turn first to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, which basically introduces to us the vocal gifts. Verse 9. To whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just taken from the breast. For he says, order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. All right. So the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues is meant to manifest a knowledge and the message that God has to bring forth. All right. He who said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose, but they would not listen. It's sad that so many refuse to understand that all this is part and parcel of the prophets. It is part and parcel of the prophets. So the vocal gifts are part and parcel of the prophets. Part and parcel of the prophets. All right. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 35. Let's see the power gifts being proclaimed. Verse 6. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy, for waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. Yes, they are a proclamation of the messianic ministry, but the messianic ministry continues with us today. We are the body of Christ. We possess the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is our inheritance and our possession. And if we are true proclaimers of the witness and testimony of Jesus, then surely the lame must walk, and the blind must see, and the deaf must hear. And all that is part and parcel of everything that the power gifts are designed to manifest. The gifts of healing, the gift of faith to enable us to move beyond what we have as a faith in our own selves, and the gift of miracles to do the supernatural that Jesus Christ did. It is so much an essential part of his message to us. It is in the gospel that Jesus Christ said, greater things than these you will do in my name. How can we deny that? How can we deny that miracles ended up with the age of the apostles, as we call it? If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how on earth can his ministry be different today than it was 2,000 years ago? If we want to interpret Scripture, we must be entirely consistent with Scripture. Scripture is a progression, right? We will be seeing more and more of the glory of God as we grow as members of the body of Christ, not the opposite. Not the opposite. There is a far greater need to see the power of God manifest today than in any time in human history. Let's look at another passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 42. verse 1 first. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He's talking about Jesus Christ. But there is much more that we need to understand. Yes, he is talking about Jesus Christ. But what is bequeathed in Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our possession. Where do you find that? You find that in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 28. You know that the last 8 chapters, keep your finger on Isaiah 42. Just turn to Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 28. You know that the last 8 chapters of the book of Ezekiel are a messianic vision. So in verse 28, it reads of chapter 44, "And it shall be with regards to an inheritance for them that I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession." So Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our possession. He is a possession and an inheritance that we receive in a heart of flesh. And we've done an enormous amount of teaching on this subject, right? So let's look at verse 5 of chapter 42 of Isaiah. Isaiah 42, verse 5. "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and spread them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon." Right? Now, one of the essential gifts that we need in order to bring out prisoners from the dungeons is the discernment of spirits. You need to know what are the strongholds that bind a human being. "And those who dwell in darkness from the prison." So you need the word of knowledge, you need the revelatory gifts, you need the word of wisdom, and you need the discerning of spirits. "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things." And every time somebody moves in the gift of, or in the word of wisdom, or the word of knowledge, there are new things being brought forth. Things of the past, things of the future. Things that will enable us to see and do things that in our normal selves we will not know or understand or perceive. So all this that you see that are expressed through the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very, very much an essential part of messianic scripture. If we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and we say that the prophets speak and prophesy of him, then we need to understand that what is spoken into him flows through his body. For it is through his body that the fullness of Jesus Christ finds expression. Right? Is that scriptural? Yes. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. "And he put all things," that is the Father, "put all things in subjection under his feet," under Jesus' feet, "and gave him," Jesus Christ, "as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The fullness of Jesus Christ is communicated in his testimony. And the testimony of Jesus includes all of the signs and wonders that he did. All of the signs and wonders that he did. And he said, "Greater things than these you will do in my name, because I go to the Father." Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. So one of the things we need to understand at the last phrase in verse 8, the unfathomable riches of Christ. Unfathomable because they cannot be intellectually perceived. They have to be revealed. And all revelation comes by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus says, The Holy Spirit will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. John 16 verse 15 says, all that the Father has is mine, and he, the Holy Spirit, will take that and he will open it to you. I'm paraphrasing, but you can read it for yourself. Verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. You see, in the King James it says the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship comes by the Holy Spirit. The administration is an outworking of that fellowship. So you put the two translations together, you get a complete picture. It is a fellowship and it's an administration. It has to be outworked. Which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God by now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. What is God talking about? The unfathomable riches of Christ, which the Holy Spirit is charged with manifesting. And part and parcel of the unfathomable riches of Christ is the manifestation of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand this. That when we talk about things like the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits, there are many different levels to all of that. What we have seen so far is the kindergarten stuff. That when we talk about the gift of faith and the gift of miracles, we ain't seen nothing yet. And we need to understand that God is talking about awesome things. And he's talking about the revelation of his Son. And that's what the gifts are all about, the revelation of the Son. Let's turn again to Ephesians chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And that's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, the gifts of Christ. Because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. That's fundamental to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, all that the Father has is mine. If all that the Father has is his, then everything that the Holy Spirit brings is by definition that which the Father has bequeathed to the Son. So if we say that we believe in Jesus Christ, then we must receive, realize, and operate in the gifts in the name of Jesus all the time. It is so fundamental to the testimony of Jesus that we are charged with proclaiming. It is falsehood to reject those gifts. Who is this Jesus that we want to proclaim who has got no power? Who can no longer stop the storms? Who can no longer walk on water? Who is this Jesus that we are proclaiming who can't open blind eyes anymore? Who is this Messiah we say who is our Lord? And we can't show who he is. Who is this Jesus who remains 2,000 years old? When scripture says, and it is written, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he ascended on high. We say that the church stands in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ has risen and he gave gifts. So where are those gifts? Where are those gifts? When so much of the church cannot demonstrate those gifts, we are denying him. What theology is this that talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and cannot demonstrate that Jesus Christ is risen? Verse 9, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? Why does the apostle write that? For the very simple reason that we will understand that those gifts came with a price, and that price was his blood. The gifts were never given for entertainment value. Verse 10, he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And the giftings are part and parcel of the mandate that the body of Christ has in order to give expression to the Jesus who is to fill all things. He is to fill all things. Which means that the ministry of the body of Christ today must be a multiplication of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Everything that he did on earth must be seen in every part of the Christian church today if we really know and understand who Jesus Christ is. There are no ifs and buts and dispensational theologies to try and work around what is so clear in Scripture. Scripture is being fulfilled. That is the very essence of the message of the Word of God. This is why this Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of God because it is being fulfilled in a greater and greater measure, day by day, from glory to glory, as the Master is revealed. That should be the way in which we are proclaiming Scripture. How can it be anything else? How can it be anything else? Let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. Let's look at verse 17. The afflicted and needy are seeking water, but there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land fountains of water. I will put the cedar in the wilderness, the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will place the juniper in the desert, together with the box tree and the cypress, that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. In order that there will be waters in the heights and the wilderness will flow, surely the gifts are so much a part of that. What does water represent? The living word of the voice of God, the Rhema of God. So when you speak in a tongue, we are moving into the Rhema of God. To whom will he teach the message? To whom will he teach knowledge? To whom would he give the message? Verse 21, present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments, the King of Jacob says. Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. What is going to take place is part and parcel of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, isn't it? As for the former events, declare what they were. That's the word of knowledge, isn't it? Things of the past, things hidden of the past. What is the word of wisdom all about? Things of the future. That we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming. You see, prophetically God is saying, this is what my ministry is going to be like. This is how I function. We say that we carry the presence of God. For heaven's sake, if we carry the presence of God, what's the presence of God doing? We say that we have the witness of God alive within us. If we have the witness of God, what is it doing? It must be doing something that the human race cannot do. It must be bringing forth something that man has to watch and see and understand and be forced to admit that this is God and nothing else. Verse 23, declare the things that are going to come afterwards, that we may know that you are God's. Right? What is he doing? He's challenging the religions that have got nothing to do with the true God. You say you are gods, right? That's so essential. The New Age movement says they are gods. Other religions, occult religions, proclaim that they are gods. So come, let's see in what way you are gods. But here we have a pathetic church that doesn't know whether it's coming or it's going. Isn't that a disgrace? Isn't that a betrayal of Jesus Christ? What else is it? And we have the cheek to use the scripture to actually say that God does not do miracles anymore. We have the cheek to use scripture to say that. Praise the Lord. So the prophets speak very clearly that the supernatural is very much a part of the ministry that God has given us, the messianic ministry. You know, we like to quote messianic prophecy. Brother, messianic prophecy is the outflowing of the testimony of Jesus, ultimately. Because we are charged with testifying that Jesus is here today. That he is very much more alive today than he was 2,000 years ago. Hello. That he is omnipresent in his body. That he can be doing miracles in Timbuktu and in Australia at the same time. No problem at all. Praise the Lord. So the giftings. The giftings are so crucial to us. The vocal gifts. The vocal gifts are meant to make us the oracles of God so that we can bring out what God has to say. So Isaiah 28, to whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he give the message? The spontaneous word. The spontaneous word. It is so much a part of our ministry. That spontaneous word comes by visions. So if you speak in tongues, you will see visions. If you speak in tongues, right, you will have a flow of thoughts within you. It will manifest as understanding. It will manifest as knowledge. It will manifest as impressions. It will manifest as thoughts. It will manifest as a confidence. It will manifest as a conviction. It will energize your inward parts to the very fact that God is there, that he's alive to you. And so it is such an essential part of us becoming alive to God. And that's what it's all about, being alive to God. The interpretation of tongues, right? Being able to take that spontaneous message and manifest it in human language, so that people can understand. But tongues also flow into things like the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom too, and the discerning of spirits. So revelation flows out of tongues. It is all part of the witness of God. Prophecy, the spontaneous word. What is prophecy for? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification. Edification is to build somebody up. Isn't there a need to build somebody up with the words that come from the mouth of God? How much there is of such a need? Isn't it so crucial for us to be able to speak prophetically into somebody's life, words that will build them up? Words that we have received from the heart of God. Words that the Holy Spirit brings forth in the name of Jesus. Look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, how he spoke words of life into people. How he opened doors for them to see and to know things. How he challenged them. How he challenged Nicodemus with the necessity of being born again. He challenged him with the scripture and challenged him and said, "You are a teacher of Israel and you don't understand this." Why was he challenging him? He was trying to point to him that you who read the scripture over and over again don't seem to understand what he's saying. Because the reality of being born again was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. Prophecy. Words that edify, words that exhort, encourage. Encourage. Every one of us needs encouragement. It is so important that we should be able to encourage each other. All of us have people whom we can touch. All of us have the witness of God alive in us. All of us have the presence of God alive within us. All of us have the capacity to give expression to this God who has loved us with an everlasting love, who has given us an everlasting life, who is willing to gift us and to anoint us so that we can do things that will be a continual blessing. And as we learn how to bring out those words of prophecy, we will grow, our witness will grow, our confidence in God will grow. As we see results, as those spontaneous words are manifested, then we will understand that God is using me to do something in somebody else's life. What do you have? You have purpose. What is God introducing you to? He's introducing you to the fact that you have eternal purpose. In that simple ability to bring out the word of prophecy. In the simple ability to bring out the word of prophecy, suddenly you see you have eternal purpose. That the living God has got purpose for you. You understand that those words of prophecy can grow at different levels. So we are called in the book of Revelation, kings, priests, and prophets. When God created the world, he prophesied, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the light was good. That is the prophetic word. And comfort to men. Comfort. People need comfort. People need healing in their hearts. Words can heal. Words can destroy. If all of us could bring out words that could heal, how powerful will be the ministry of the church? How much people will flock to the church because they are hearing words that they have never heard from anybody else in the human race. The words of God. If we all spoke the words of Jesus Christ, you know how powerful our lives will be? But so often we want to speak our words. That's the problem, you see. But if the purpose of the gift of prophecy is so that we will speak the words of Jesus Christ, spontaneously by the Holy Spirit, giving expression to the spirit and life of Jesus that is within us, giving expression to the faith and love of Jesus that is within us, giving expression to the witness and testimony of Jesus that is our inheritance and our possession. We all have the capacity to receive this, realize this, and express this. Aren't the gifts important? Aren't the vocal gifts important? Because words are so important to human life, human existence. Can you imagine if you were put in a place where you can't hear words anymore? You can go berserk. In the same way, can you imagine if you live in a home or you live in a place where all the words spoken to you are wrong words? Can you see how destructive it is? But if those words were the right words, how different it would be. If we were taken to heaven, one of the first things that will come alive to us would be the fact that words are alive to us at all times. People who have been to heaven says that even the birds speak. That nature speaks and testifies of God. Everything is alive with the voice of God. So you and I have been bequeathed to receive, to realize, and to express the voice of God. That's what the vocal gifts are telling us. And isn't it powerful? Because suddenly it opens your whole life to a whole new universe. You have purpose in eternity, just on the vocal gifts. Just on the vocal gifts, you have a whole universe of reality. Because everything in our natural world is governed by words, isn't it? If cheap words can govern, how awesome will be heavenly words? So let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Verse 15. You know the vision. Jesus is seen as the Lamb of God by John in the island of Patmos. And the moment he hears the trumpet call, the words that come to him in verse 11 are simply these words: I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What is Jesus saying? I encompass every reality for you. That's what it means, Alpha and the Omega. That the testimony of Jesus is the beginning and end of everything in our lives. And then verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. The capacity to see. The capacity to see. The capacity to see. Prophetic insight. Prophetic insight. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. The reason why his eyes were like fire is because he had been through the furnace. Something had been perfected in his witness and his testimony. Something he was giving to the church that was awesome. We would see through his eyes. And his voice as the sound of many waters, abundant waters. That's what tongues are designed to bring forth, to make you alive to the many waters, the abundant waters of the voice of your Lord. Tongues are all about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit always opens Jesus Christ, because Jesus said so. That's why we believe in a doctrine of the Trinity. Because God is always one. There is no such thing as one person of God operating and the rest of the Godhood not being there. We move by the Holy Spirit in the Father's will in the name of Jesus. Whatever you move by the Holy Spirit, it is described by the Word of God, and it is ordained by the will of the Father. It is always like that. It cannot be anything else. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. He is always one, echad, a triune unity. He is always one, he functions as one. He does not function singularly. That's why Jesus kept telling the Pharisees, I do not bear witness on my own. It is my Father who bears witness. Because he was not simply speaking on his own. He was speaking by the Holy Spirit in the Father's will. It was not just Jesus ministering to his people. It was a triune ministry. Always a triune ministry. John chapter 17, Jesus speaks to the Father in prayer. But everything that he speaks is by the Holy Spirit. I and the Father are one. That is a reality that is manifested by the Holy Spirit. So if we dismiss the Holy Spirit, We are dismissing the very reality of God. We cannot look at the antics of man and dismiss God. We cannot look at the antics of the Christian church and say that the gospel is not true. Mean there are gifts that God wants to give us. And his voice as the sound of many waters, abundant waters, full of life, pregnant with life. Now that's what the vocal gifts are designed to bring forth. The pregnant realities of God's voice. We need to hear the voice of God. If we do not hear the voice of God, we will die, guys. Are so essential to the church, so essential to us being able to manifest the word. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, some people deliberately manipulate words. But that is true for everything. That is true for everything. You can go to schools of theology and the word of God is entirely manipulated. Does it mean you close down every school of theology? Because it is possible that schools of theology teach rubbish. That's not true, because there are schools of theology that speak sound theology. So the same applies to everything. Yes, there are those who will always function in the wrong spirit. It's always been like that. John writes, the people of the spirit of the Antichrist was manifested from people who were with us. They have gone out from amongst us. That will always be there. But that doesn't mean we sit down in church and we look around our shoulders as to who is there. We can't live like that. So embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Embrace them. Ask God. I'm sure many of us have received wrong teachings on this in the past. Many of us have been turned off on the gifts because we have seen people misbehave with the giftings. Or do absurd things with the giftings. That doesn't mean the giftings are bad. It just simply tells you that people are bad. That's all. And if you don't know that, you have my condolences. Jesus himself said, you are evil. So the only one who is good is God. So in the end, goodness comes if we respond to God in the sincerity of our hearts. Evil will manifest whenever we twist God's words. As simple as that. That applies to whether you read the scriptures, whether you pray, whether you do anything. You can respond to God and become a blessing, or you can reject God or manipulate what God is giving and become a curse. That is a choice man has been given. And there are many people who do that deliberately, even people who stand behind pulpits. But that doesn't mean pulpit ministries are bad. You have to learn how to discern between right and wrong. If you don't know how to discern between right and wrong, you are in trouble. Because we live in a world of many different kinds of witnesses. And it is part of Christian maturity to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. There is a place for protection from evil. But why does God allow things to afflict us? So that our faith will be strengthened. So that we will have the opportunity to test the witness that we carry in God. Will we make mistakes? Yes, we will make mistakes. But the important point is that you will learn from your mistakes. When you bring up children, don't you teach them that way?
If you try and protect your children from everything, they will learn. They will turn out to be 20-year-old babies. You don't want to be a 20-year-old baby or have a son who is a 20-year-old baby. That will be a disaster. So part and parcel of parenthood is teaching those children the difference between right and wrong. Being there, seeing them make mistakes, and then being able to teach them the lessons. Sometimes that is the best way to teach the lesson. And if you watch how God deals with us, very often it is like that, isn't it? Yeah. Oh Lord, why did that happen to me? He allowed it to happen to you. Why? Because you wouldn't listen any other way. Right? That's been done for me so many times. Praise the Lord. So the vocal gifts, learning to use your witness, all right? You remember we did teaching on the witness? The vocal gifts are about activating that witness. All right? Remember 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Every born-again Christian has a witness that God has given him. The vocal gifts are given so that you can train that witness before God. Amen. So the moment you pray in tongues, that witness comes alive in you. Straight away you know that you are speaking from your belly. Now, in the natural, you cannot speak from your belly. But when you speak in a tongue, you speak from your innermost being. Immediately you realize that there is a different way of functioning that God has put inside of you. That's why the vocal gifts are so crucial for our understanding. Because then you will realize that you can use that witness that you have by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And you will also learn that you can also misuse the witness that God has given you. Let's turn to that, all right? So that you understand how important this witness is, all right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. First part of that verse. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. It is not a witness. He has the witness in himself. The witness. The witness that God has bequeathed to you in and by and through the name of Jesus. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. So the testimony that God has given of his Son is a witness within you. First point. All right? Second point, verse 8. I hope you have a New King James Bible. And this is what it reads. There are three, verse 7 and 8. Right? There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these are one. That is the witness of Almighty God. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the Spirit, the water, and the blood is the witness of the cross. Can you see that? That's why Jesus surrendered his spirit to the Father. That's why when the Roman soldier pierced him, out came blood and water. Now that is the witness that God wants to develop inside of you. So the vocal gifts are tied to this witness. So you will always use the vocal gifts the right way if you do it to glorify Jesus Christ. Making mistakes is no problem with God. Deliberate manipulation, that is a big problem with God. Making mistakes, no problem at all. You can make as many mistakes as you want. God will teach you and God will pick you up and God will train you. Making honest to goodness mistakes, no problem at all. Deliberate manipulation, dishonest ways, that God has a problem with. So that witness in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, that witness is called the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You listening? the beginning of the creation of God. So with this witness, God creates you. He fashions you as you learn how to function by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ functioned by the Holy Spirit perfectly. And you and I are designed to receive that, realize that, and walk by that. And the gift, the vocal gifts, are meant to teach you how to function in this witness. When you are born again, you are alive to this witness. You know that God is real. You know when God teaches you. You know when God speaks to you. You know when somebody is speaking on the pulpit, whether he's lying to you or he's telling you the truth. You know that. But knowing alone is not enough. It has to go beyond that. You've got to take what God is bringing into you as a knowing, and you must be able to do something with it. So Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, do all things in word and in deed in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. All the time, guys. Why is that possible? Because of that witness. To give you that witness, Jesus Christ went to the cross. So the cross of Jesus Christ is so relevant to moving in the Holy Spirit. Because who walked in the Spirit of God perfectly except Jesus Christ? So can you see the tie-up? And it's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah? Can you see that? That you are online with the living God? Hello. Just think of that. That you are online with the living God, that you are designed like that the moment you are born again. And this is what the infilling of the Holy Spirit is all about. To make that online witness an online witness, to train you so that you will be able to function in that witness in Jesus' name all the time. That is what sets you free from the law of sin and death. That is what is perfection, guys. Not trying to practice the law. To live by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus from the witness inside of you. That is God's definition of perfection. That is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The nature of Jesus Christ in you, opened and developed inside of you by the Holy Spirit and brought into actual function by the Holy Spirit, is the fulfillment of the law. So the vocal gifts are designed to develop that functional reality and ability in God. It's very precious. It's very, very precious. I prepare for all of my teaching sessions entirely by praying in tongues. Entirely by praying in tongues. And at the end of it all, I know I have the message. I don't need notes to preach. Why? Because the message is there by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. It's there all the time. All I have to do is turn to the Lord and ask Him to manifest what He wants me to speak. That's all. Do I make mistakes? Yes, I make mistakes. When I make a mistake and I say the wrong thing, I can feel it inside. I know it. But it's awesome to be able to function like this. You're free. So the vocal gifts, all of us have the capacity to walk in that freedom and liberty. Every man, woman, and child in the Christian church has the potential of growing into this reality. We are so impressed by supercomputers. You are online with the living God. How much more impressive is that? In blood, water, and spirit, there are checks and balances. Blood is covenant. Water is the voice of the Lord. Spirit is the enabling, the anointing. The anointing, the Spirit of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ means the anointed one. And all this is built into you. Aren't you fearfully and wonderfully made? Can you see that? And you can walk in this reality into every area of your life. This is not a religious concept. It is available to you all the time in any sphere of human influence, provided it does not break God's laws. So when God gives you a word of knowledge, He gives you insight. You know how much the corporate world will pray for a good idea. What makes you think that the word of knowledge will not operate, or the word of wisdom will not operate in a corporate environment? Where do you think Daniel got his insights from? Where do you think Joseph got his insights? Where were they applied? In the corporate world, isn't it? So why is it we Christians are so empty? Because we don't believe. Because we don't take God at His word. We sit down there and we say, "Oh God, help me, help me, help me." What do you expect? Everything has been given to you through the cross. Everything. When God announced His name as Yahweh Yireh, He announced it in the context of a sacrifice. That sacrifice has already been made. That sacrifice has been bequeathed to you 100%. Not one iota of that sacrifice has been withheld from any one of us. So the totality of Yahweh Yireh is available to every man, woman, and child who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So what is it God has not given us? Nothing. But everything in the cross opens through this witness by the Holy Spirit. And the vocal gifts are designed to train you and to teach you how to do this. Obviously, like anything in which you are going to be trained for, it takes time, it takes application, it takes perseverance. What is it you want to see in your life in God? You know, Jesus said that in the name of Jesus, you can ask for anything that you want, it will be given to you. But it must be in the name of Jesus. It must be consistent with His name. It must be consistent with His witness. It must be consistent with His testimony. If it's consistent with His witness and His testimony, God is saying you can have anything you want. So you see, when God talks about giftings, He's not talking in isolation. It's all part and parcel of a complex reality called salvation. To bring out a new man. To bring out the sons of God. To bring out a royal priesthood. To bring out kings. To bring out a prophetic people. Amen. And all of us are entitled to that based on the price that Jesus paid. Nobody has been shortchanged. But it takes time. It takes time. God has to build that witness within you. Praise the Lord. Shall we stop there for today? Sure. Let's just pray. Father, we bless You and thank You for the awesomeness of the giftings that You have given us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we realize that those giftings are meant to be treasures that we develop in our lives and manifest through our lives. In ministries that You have ordained for our lives, in accordance to a calling that You are in the process of developing in us. What You are building in us is a humongous witness of purpose and function and destiny, Father, that You are building within us and developing within us, and it will be manifested in all eternity, Lord. We are to be unveiled as the sons of God. That is our destiny. That is our purpose. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Scripture speaks clearly and unambiguously, O God, of the fact that we are to be fashioned and formed and created in Christ Jesus. For of His fullness we have all received. And the gift is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the giftings of the Holy Spirit are a manifestation of the ministry of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, and enable us to understand that everything that You bring as a gifting in our lives is entirely consistent with the testimony of Jesus. It is entirely consistent with the Father's will. It is entirely manifested before the Father in the name of Jesus. So all of us can embrace with total heart and mind and strength, oh God, every gifting that you have given to us and open to us, oh God, sovereignly, Lord. There's nothing to be fearful of. There's everything to gain, everything to discover, oh God. That the purpose of the giftings is for us to discover who our Jesus really is, what he can be in our lives, and how he is revealed to us, oh God, by the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we pray that you will lead us and you will train us and you will direct us, Father, always in your will, always by the Holy Spirit, always in the name of Jesus. We ask you, oh God, to remove from us every hindrance of wrong teachings and wrong thoughts that have been planted into our conscious, our subconscious, and our unconscious, oh God. We pray for all of that false teaching, oh God, to be uprooted, to be nailed to the cross of Jesus. And we pray that every decree that stands against us, every decree of disbelief, every decree, oh God, of turning away from your witness, oh Lord, we pray for those decrees to be nullified, oh God, in the stripes and wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be nullified by the faith and love of Jesus Christ, to be nullified, oh God, in the words of the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Father, we pray that in the victory of the Lamb, O God, we will be released, O God, from every binding of the accuser, that every accusation that has been hurled at us for not receiving the testimony of Jesus, we take all of those accusations, we nail them to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we proclaim that every accusation, every decree that stands against us is absolutely removed from us in the name of Jesus, absolutely removed from us by the stripes and wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our innermost parts, O Lord, are released from every burden, O God, every hindrance, O God, of the evil one, Father, every hindrance, O God, of half-truths, every hindrance, O God, of the witness of the father of lies, O God. Father God, we reject, O God, every falsehood, Father. We receive, O God, the full counsel of your word, O God, and we pray that the full counsel of your word will manifest in a free flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray, O God, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be manifested, O God, together with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, so that the totality of the witness and testimony of Jesus will flow through each and every one of us, O God. That it will flow to the glory and majesty of our God. That it will flow, O God, in the reality that you have blessed us, O God, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That nothing will be withheld from us, O God. So, Father, in our hearts, O God, we ask you, O God, to remove, O God, every rejection of the Holy Spirit, O God, that has been there, O God, in subconscious and unconscious terms. We pray for those rejections of the Holy Spirit, O God, those suspicions of the Holy Spirit, O God, that distrust of the Holy Spirit, O God. We pray for all of those kinds of thoughts, O God, that have been manifested throughout church history, Father, to be uprooted, O God, to be nailed to the cross of Jesus, O God, and to be removed from our hearts, O God, so that we will walk in freedom and liberty in him who is called the Spirit of truth, in him who is called the Spirit of life, in him who is called the Spirit of grace, in him who is called the Spirit of Christ, O God. So we pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill us, O God. Holy Spirit, come and fill us even at this time. Come and fill our hearts, O God. Come and engineer within us, O God, a witness that is pure and undefiled, O God. That true and faithful witness, O God. That beginning of the creation of God that will enable us to function in the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. That we will stand before the Father and walk before him in holiness and in blamelessness. That this will be accomplished in the reality of El Shaddai, O God. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to circumcise our hearts, O God, to remove from us, O God, every defilement of the flesh, O God, that we will glory in Jesus Christ even as we move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, that we will truly, O God, give glory to our Father, that we will use the gifts to worship our Father in spirit and in truth, O God. We ask this, we pray this, we claim this, O God, in the merits of the Lamb, in the name of Jesus, and we give you all the glory, Almighty God. Father, Word, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we bless you. Amen.